Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, in for Meghna Chakrabarty. Many people think mental illness is a problem centered in the brain. But researchers from Harvard Medical School and McLean Hospital say they've found evidence of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder in parts of the body besides the brain. And this research could lead to new ways of diagnosing and treating these mental illnesses. Listeners, are you or members of your family affected by these disorders? And if so, what did it take to get a diagnosis? Would testing for the disease before symptoms kicked in have helped you prepare for it? Or would you have preferred not to know? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a message via Facebook or Twitter at Radio Boston, or leave us a comment on our website at wbur.org/Boston. That's later in the show. But first, last month, the Eastern Equine Encephalitis Virus, also known as Triple E, was discovered in a horse in Middleborough. Since then, public health officials have waged a war on mosquitoes in southeastern Massachusetts. Over the weekend, planes carrying insecticide sprayed towns in Bristol and Plymouth counties. Now trucks are continuing to spray in an effort to kill off the mosquito population that carries the virus. The disease poses a relatively low threat to humans. Even if a person contracts the virus, there's only a 1 in 20 chance of actually developing Triple E. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But for those who do develop the infection, the prognosis is grim. There is no cure, and half of the people in Massachusetts who've contracted the disease have died. Still, some people question the effectiveness of the spraying and its environmental and health effects. So joining us to talk more about Triple E and what's being done to prevent the spread of the virus is state epidemiologist Al DeMaria of the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Dr. Maria, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Sasha.
Also with us is Wayne Andrews. He heads the Bristol County Mosquito Control Project. Wayne Andrews, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sasha.
Listeners, are you worried about the threat of Eastern equine encephalitis? Or are you more concerned about these chemicals raining down on your neighborhood? How do you balance the small but frightening threat of the disease with any concerns you may have about possible health effects of sprays used to fight the virus? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can comment on our website at radioboston.org/Boston. Dr. DeMaria, this is not the first time that Massachusetts has had to worry about Eastern equine encephalitis. In fact, I think Massachusetts is where the disease was first identified over 70 years ago. Is that right?
That's right. In the 1930s, this virus was first recognized, and the first human cases were described in Massachusetts in 1938.
So just like Lyme disease was found down in Connecticut, Triple E was found in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and but you know, it actually occurs up and down the East Coast from Florida up into the Canadian Maritimes. So it has a much wider recognition now than it did back then. But really, a lot of what we know about Triple E was from the Massachusetts experience from 1938 onward.
And last year, I believe there was only one case of Triple E. But this season, it looks like we're feeling concerns earlier. Are you feeling like this is a summer in which the virus could turn out to be particularly widespread?
Yeah, we've been doing surveillance in mosquitoes since the mid-50s. That was the second big epidemic of Triple E that we experienced in Massachusetts. And since 1938, every 10 to 15 years or so, we have a cluster of cases. But this year, our mosquito surveillance in July was unprecedented in the amount of virus that we were finding. If you go back to 2006, which was a bad year, which was the last time aerial spraying was used.
That was the end of an outbreak, I believe.
Right. That was a three-year outbreak with 13 cases and six deaths. And during that period of time, we saw the highest mosquito counts in July in 2006. And this July, as far as I can tell, we saw the highest infection rates that we have ever seen, and it was over three times what we saw in July of 2006.
The highest rates that we have ever seen?
Yeah, as far as I can tell.
Do we know why that's the case this year?
Well, no. It sort of was a surprise because we weren't expecting another cycle of infection historically, but obviously we can't ignore what we actually see because of what we expect. So we really, and the only comparison we had was back in 1983, was another sort of unusual year in terms of mosquito findings. Relatively small absolute numbers of mosquitoes like this year with very, very hot weather and high infection rates. So it's that infection rate in the mosquitoes that really got our attention. And then sort of the proof that it was a risk was the horse case in July, which is very unusual to see horse cases so early in the summer.
And there have been two horse cases, I think, both put down.
Two. One was not in the southeast, but...
You just made a reference to the relatively small absolute numbers of mosquitoes, and I think you just got onto something interesting, which is that, as I understand it, we're seeing fewer mosquitoes this year, so we might feel like we're being bitten less. But because there are so many infected mosquitoes, every bite has a very high risk of being an infected bite.
A higher risk. Yes, and I think, you know, Wayne is the expert on this, and I think that part of the problem in terms of people's perception this year leading up to when everybody was paying attention to the aerial pesticide application was that, people weren't really paying attention to mosquitoes as much as they might have been because some of those nuisance mosquitoes weren't around, but certainly the mosquitoes that carry Triple E were around. Mm.
So, Wayne Andrews, you head the Bristol County Mosquito Control Project. Can you give us a little primer on Triple E?
Sure. This is, you know, most years there's a mosquito called Culicida melanura, and it comes out of these cedar swamps, these white cedar swamps here, and particularly southeastern Massachusetts, Plymouth and Bristol County. And what it does is, bites birds and keeps the virus going. And in most years, and almost every year, we always have Triple E around, and it stays in this bird-biting mosquito and really isn't a big problem. This particular year, the Triple E has started to misbehave, and it's gotten into those mosquitoes we call bridge vectors. In this case, it's called Cochlotidia perturbans, which is a cattail mosquito. This is a mosquito that will feed on birds, it will feed on mammals, and everything like that. Well, it has become very infected this year, and certainly it's part of that record numbers you heard Dr. Maria talk about. This is still we have record numbers of Cochlotidia perturbans that are positive. Now,
so, Wayne Andrews, when you say bridge vectors, you mean these are mosquitoes that spread the infection from one species to another?
Indeed. What it does is it spreads it from birds. It bites a bird. Then its next blood meal, after it picked up virus, could be a horse, which evidently happened, or it could be a person. And this is an aggressive mosquito that really likes people. And there's the brunt of the problem. It's moved into a bridge vector, Cochlotidia perturbans, and we know it's out there feeding on mammals because we've had a horse case.
And then if a horse gets it, can a horse spread it to a person?
No, they can't. They're considered a dead-end host, and they die before the virus gets too high, and that's just how that works out. But certainly the mosquito has the virus for a lifetime, which a lot of people don't realize yet. The viremia only lasts in a bird 3 or 4 days at the most.
So right now, over the weekend, spraying took place down in southeastern Massachusetts in an effort to try to eliminate this mosquito population, or at least sort of tamp down the mosquito population. And the state, I believe, has said that aerial spraying could be done this season, but truck spraying will continue. Is that what's happening right now?
Indeed, that is what's continuing. What happened is we were out, did the aerial spray Thursday and Friday and Saturday evenings. And what you get is, we probably got someplace in the 80% range on the knockdown of things like Cochlotidia perturbans and such.
Meaning you think you killed 80% of them?
Oh, yeah. The data's beginning to come in, and it's starting to look like that number were killed. Now, with that in mind, you got to remember if you had 100 mosquitoes and you killed 80, there's still 20 out there. What the good news is there's considerably less mosquitoes than there were before. But what we're doing in some of the areas right now, and where we're still finding, maybe 12, 14 mosquitoes after the spray, particularly Cochlotidia perturbans, we're going into these neighborhoods where we see this and spraying those areas. So it is continuing the truck-based spraying in a smaller scale, but certainly there, we're watching it. I mean, just to mention, there's a lot of trapping of mosquitoes still going on and testing of mosquitoes by Dr. Maria's lab. And such. So there's quite a bit still going on and things we have to figure out this week.
So the mosquitoes certainly pose a threat, but part of what we're talking about today is that for many people, there's a concern about the chemicals as well. As I understand it, the sprays contain an active ingredient called sumithrin, and some people have raised questions about the use of the chemical, particularly when it's dropped from planes. We actually spoke earlier today with Jack Kittredge. He's policy director for the Northeast Organic Farming Association's Massachusetts chapter, and here's what he had to say about that chemical, sumithrin.
Even though sumithrin is less toxic than a number of other insecticides, it is still a nerve poison, and there are a number of people who are very sensitive to any kind of toxins like this. A number of our members are chemically sensitive people, organic farmers, people who want to live and eat organically without synthetic chemicals in their environment. They're very concerned that this is a invasive measure, and they feel like there's nothing they can do to prevent it. The planes are going to come and going to overspray their houses and backyards and gardens and so forth. We just don't think that there's enough of a health emergency to actually spray poisons over a section of our population.
And I should add that many people in these neighborhoods were asked to keep their windows closed, their fans off, shut off their air conditioners, you rinse fruits and vegetables that they grow in the area, even keep their pets indoors. Dr. Aldermira, state epidemiologist, could you talk to us about what your understanding is of any possible risks of this spray?
Yeah, you know, a lot of those recommendations are precautionary, but reasonably so, because it is a pesticide. It is being used to kill mosquitoes, and that's the goal. And everything we do in medicine and in public health balances risk and benefit. And in this circumstance, we were getting to a point of human risk that exceeded our capacity to, you know, that we had done everything up until aerial spraying that we could do. Ground-based spraying is fine where ground-based trucks can get to. But for many of the parts of the Southeast, the places where the mosquitoes are not where trucks can get to. All of the things that Wayne does in the spring and in the early summer to reduce mosquito numbers were done. All of the messages we got out there to reduce your risk by using repellents and avoiding mosquitoes were done. And yet we were seeing these high rates of infection, and we were getting feedback from the public that maybe people weren't as aware of this as they were back in 2006 when we were in the third year.
Dr. Brea, we actually have a call from a caller in Taunton that I think would be interesting to hear from. Brian, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? So you live in Taunton.
Yes, I had a question. I got one of the robocalls that said that on Thursday night they'd be spraying, and they said to keep your windows closed from 8 at night, so 3 in the morning. That's a long stretch when it's 90 degrees at night. But the other question was, they didn't spray on Thursday night. They actually, we believe, they sprayed on Saturday night. So we didn't get any more calls saying shut your windows on a Friday night or a Saturday night. So the question was, everybody had their windows open on those nights. And so somebody told me to go to the website and check it out. And I did go to the website, and they said those nights that they did spray on Thursday were down in, in Middleboro and Wareham.
Huh.
So they sprayed in different areas. What they call that. So I was very upset about that.
Brian, thank you for that. Dr. DeMaria, do you want to take that? Is there times that the schedule might be not quite what people thought it would be?
Yeah, you know, a lot is dependent on what the airplanes can do, how much time they have, what the weather conditions are. So it's not 100%. I think we tried to err on the side of overwarning people so they could take precautions to avoid the pesticide. And I think in some instances, calls went out. Parts of towns were being sprayed. Other parts were not being sprayed. The what was done on the second night depended on what they could accomplish on the first night. So I think we did the best we can. It was a perfect no. I don't think it was perfect, but I think we wanted to make sure that we didn't tell people they weren't going to be sprayed when they were going to be sprayed.
And as you said earlier, right now the state is simply trying to balance risk, and the belief is that the risk of the mosquito is greater than the risk of the spray.
Right.
Dr. Al DeMaria is the state epidemiologist for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Dr. DeMaria, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Wayne Andrews, superintendent of the Bristol County Mosquito Control Project, thank you also.
You're welcome.
Now we have to take a break, but when we come back...
Being a woman, it doesn't matter what country you come from. You know, being widowed, it's similar shared experience.
How one 9/11 widow is helping the widows of Afghanistan. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.